pain is a wrong perspective. 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 When your perspective is wrong, you go through some kind of pain. When your perspective is wrong, it causes pain. Pain is a wrong perspective. Whenever you experience any kind of pain, it's proof that you're deceiving yourself. When I experience any kind of pain, when I experience any kind of fear, it's the proof that I'm deceiving myself. If you're feeling pain in any form, it's a proof that you are deceiving yourself. It's not a fact at all. There is no form that pain takes that won't disappear if you see it correctly. There is no form of pain that will not disappear if you see it correctly. There is no form of pain that will not disappear if you see it correctly. It's time to laugh at insane ideas. It's your thoughts alone that cause you pain. Nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way. There's no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you. There's nothing in this world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail. There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you sick, ill, sad, weak, or frail. There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill, or sad, or weak, or frail. But it is you who have the power to dominate all things you see. You have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. You have the power. You have the power. You have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. What you used to see that frightened you will now become a source of innocence and happiness. Everything that used to frighten you, or anything that's frightening you now, may it become a source of peace and happiness. The world you see does nothing at all. The world you see merely represents your thoughts. The world you see merely represents your thoughts. The world you see merely represents your thoughts. The world you see represents your thoughts. And the world you see will change entirely. The world you see will change entirely. The world you see will change completely as you elect to change your mind. The world you see will completely change as you choose to change your mind. The world you see will completely change as you choose to change your mind. The world that you see will change completely as you choose to change your mind. This situation will change completely as you choose to change your mind. That situation will change completely as you choose to change your mind. That situation will change completely as you decide to change your mind. That means choose the joy of God as what you want. Choose the joy of love as what you want. I choose the joy of God as what I want. I choose the joy of God as what I want. I choose the joy of love as what I want. I choose the joy of love as what I want. I choose the joy of freedom. 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 I choose the joy of freedom as what I want. That's the same as saying I choose the joy of God as what I want. When you choose the joy of freedom as what you want, you have completely changed your mind about the world, and so the situation that you're in will completely change for the better. When you choose for the joy of God instead of pain, you are completely changing your mind, which will completely change your world for the better. So don't deny a little corner of your mind its joy inheritance. Don't keep a little part of your mind as a hospital for pain. Don't keep just a little part of your mind as a sickly place where living things must come at last to die. Lay down your arms. Come without defense into the quiet place. Lay down your arms. Come without defense to the quiet place where love's peace holds all things still at last. Lay down all thoughts of danger. Lay down your dangerous thoughts. Lay down your dangerous thoughts. Lay down your dangerous thoughts. Lay your dangerous thoughts down. Lay your dangerous thoughts down. Lay your dangerous thoughts down. Lay down your thoughts of fear. Lay down your arms. Let no attack enter with you. Don't let any attack come in with you. Come on into peace, but leave attack outside. Come on into peace, but leave attack outside. Come into this peaceful place right here, right now, and leave all anger outside. Lay down the cruel sword of judgment that you hold against your throat. Put that sword down. Put that sword down. Put that judgment sword down from beneath your throat. Take judgment away from your throat. Take the judgment sword away from your throat. Put aside the withering attacks that you used to hide your innocence. Lay down the anger that you used to hide your peace. Lay down the anger and the fear that you used to hide your peace. And then you will understand there is no pain. Because then you will feel the joy of God. You will feel the joy of love. Lay down that sword of judgment that you hold it against your throat so that you can experience the joy of love that is behind the sword of judgment. This is the day when it is given you. This is the day when it's given you to realize the lesson. Today, this is the day that is given you to realize the lesson. Today is the day that is given you to realize the lesson that contains all of the power of right-mindedness. Choose the joy of love. No matter what you've gone through in the past, no matter what it looks like you've been through, no matter what it looks like that's happened to you in the past, no matter how you're feeling right now, no matter what you may be concerned or worried about right now, choose the joy of peace. Choose the joy of God instead of pain. Say, I'm going to choose the joy of the truth instead of the pain of the illusion. Tell yourself that you're ready to choose the joy of what's real instead of continuing to go through periodic disappointments and what's unreal. Tell yourself that you want to go for the real love, the love that never ends, the love that doesn't have gaps in it, the love that's not a bargain, the love that's equal, the love that expands, the love that will never hurt, the love that always prospers you, nurtures you, feeds you, frees you, gives you security, that's the love you want to go through right now, that you're tired of going through the world's love, which is nothing but a bunch of bargains based on guilt. That you're ready for the real deal. You're ready for something beyond something that you can lose. Choose the joy of God. Choose the joy of love instead of pain. And so right now we're making the only choice that we can ever make. We're choosing between what's not real and what's real. Pain and joy. Hell and heaven. So let's give gratitude to our inner teacher. Our inner teacher fills our hearts as we are free. We are free. We are free to choose. You 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 are free to choose your joy. You are free to choose your joy. You are free to choose your joy instead of pain. Your innocence instead of believing in your sinfulness. You are free to choose the peace of God instead of constant conflict. You are free to choose the light of heaven, which is perfect joy. You are free to choose complete joy. You are free to choose complete joy. You are free to choose complete joy for the darkness and ignorance and fear of the world. You choose the joy of God instead of pain.
Come on, buddy. Remember that you don't need to believe the ideas. You don't need to accept the ideas. You don't need to even welcome the ideas. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. 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 Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. Some of the things that you hear you may find hard to believe. Some of the things I say may startle you. I'm not asking you to judge. I do a good enough job on my own. So I don't need no judgment. So we're going to let's just take our swords and put them back into the holsters right now. You know what I'm saying? That sword of judgment we carry around. At least I know I have a sword of judgment. Does anyone else have swords of judgment? Oh, okay, cool. Because I swear y'all was looking at me like I was saying something strange. It was weird. It was like everybody was looking at me like, judgment? What is that? I never judge anybody. You know, what is a man talking about? Judgment. But right now, I'm not going to tolerate y'all's faces of innocence.
That was the cool thing. The face we make up. To hide the one that wants to kick a little butt. Yeah. The nice me. The nice me.
And it also says, if you just use the ideas, it'll give it meaning to you and will show you that it's true. So if you use it, you'll see that it's true. I'm going to start off on page, if you got the textbook, I'm going to start from page 384. And the name of the section is called Beyond the Body. Okay, here's the first startling statement. There's nothing outside you. There's nothing outside you. That means I'm not outside you. There's nothing outside you. That's what you must ultimately learn. So if you wonder what the ultimate lesson is, the ultimate lesson is to realize that there's nothing outside you, and at the point that you realize there's nothing outside of you, that's when the restoration of the kingdom of heaven has been restored to you. The restoration of your joy is restored to you as you recognize that I'm not outside of you. The restoration of your joy is restored to you as you realize that there's nothing outside of you, because God only created this, and God didn't lead this, and didn't lead this separate from God. So there's nobody outside of you. As soon as you realize there's nobody outside of you, then the kingdom of heaven is restored to you, and then you recognize that this is what God created, and God never left it. So this is what love created, and love never left it, is what you realize. And so it says, the kingdom of heaven is the dwelling place of the Son of God, who left not his Father and dwells not apart from him. So the kingdom of heaven is where someone lives who has never, ever left the truth and love. The kingdom of heaven is nothing but the perfect joy that you live in when you never, never depart from the truth or from God or from love. It's all the same thing. Truth, God, love, Creator. It's all the same thing. Don't let the words fool you now. This is what it's saying. So the court says heaven isn't a place. So we're not talking about a place. We're not talking about a place. When we talk about heaven or love or happiness, we're not talking about a place. We're not talking about a place. We're not talking about a place. We're not talking about a condition. When you talk about real peace and real love and real happiness, you're not talking about a place and you're not talking about a condition. We're not talking about a place. Happiness isn't a place. Happiness isn't a condition. Our home isn't a place. Our home isn't a condition. Our home is an awareness. You live in your awareness. You are living in what you are aware of. You are living in what you are aware of. You are living in your awareness. So heaven, which is perfect joy, is an awareness that you live in, not a place or a condition. So what is it an awareness of? It's an awareness of oneness. And guess what? When you're in complete happiness, you know there's nothing else but oneness. There's nothing else outside this oneness. And you know there's nothing else within the oneness. So heaven or peace or safety comes from an awareness of oneness. So the only way to be truly safe is to be aware of your oneness. And never leave your oneness. When you leave your oneness, that's when your peace departs from you and pain is born. Pain is born in separation. What could God give but knowledge of God? What could love give but knowledge of love? What else is there to give? The belief that you could give or get something else other than the knowledge of yourself. To believe you can give and receive anything else but the knowledge of yourself has cost you the awareness of heaven, which is the awareness of your identity. What keeps me unaware of my identity is that I believe that there's something else I can give and something else I can receive but the knowledge of myself and the knowledge of love, which is the same thing.
Every time I believe I can give anything other than love, that's what caused me the awareness of my happiness. So you lose the awareness of your happiness when you think there's something else you can give and receive other than the knowledge of yourself and love. I promised myself every time I could, I was praying upstairs after I peed. And everybody's peed today, raise your hand. Okay, so that's not looking at each other like that's a strange concept. Okay. It's what makes us one. We are one in pee. Okay. So what caused me pain is when I lose awareness of the oneness. And when I lose awareness of the oneness, then that's when I become unsafe and I attract pain to myself. So pain comes from losing awareness of oneness, because heaven is an awareness. It's not a place or a condition. I'm just going through the book. All right? He says, now, you've done a stranger thing than you realize yet. I'll say it again. The Spirit said, you all have done something more strange than you realize yet. You've done something more strange than you realize yet. I'm going to tell you what it is. There's something you've done that's even more strange than you even realize. You have displaced your guilt to your body from your mind. Oh, okay. Now, what the hell you just say? Okay. I have done something stranger than forgotten that the only thing that I'm here to give is love and myself and knowledge of myself. I forgot that I'm just here to keep an awareness of oneness so I can be safe all the time. I've forgotten that there's nothing outside of me, and I've forgotten that there's no place I could possibly be that love and my Creator isn't with me. I've forgotten all those things. And since I've forgotten all those things, I've lost the awareness of my oneness, and so therefore I go through pain and I go through fear. But I've done something even stranger than that. I've taken the guilt in my mind and I have displaced my guilt to my body. So now it's not my mind that's guilty, it's my body that's guilty. You know, you who think you hate your body, that's very straight up, isn't it? You who think you hate your body. You, in other words, you zip past the mirror. You fear your body. You don't like your body. You don't feel safe in your body. He says, then you're deceiving yourself. So if you hate your body, if you fear your body, if you fear the bodily experience, if you hate the bodily experience, you are deceiving yourself. You really hate your mind. You mean it's not my body, my bodily conditions that I'm afraid of and that I hate? And that I'm, no. What you really are afraid of and that you really don't like is the way you think. Mm-hmm. You don't like your mind. Mm-hmm. You fear your mind. Why? Why would I hate my mind? Because guilt has entered into my mind. And so my mind wants to remain separate from your mind, and my mind can't do it. Minds are joined, bodies are not. Minds are joined, bodies are not. We can join, we sit up here joining in the mind. That's obvious that right now in this moment, those of you who are awake are joining in the mind. And those who are asleep are too. But it's obvious our bodies are not joined. Drats. A lot of people feel guilt about body joining. They take the guilt that they have about it in their mind, and then they put it on their bodies. I take the anger that's in my mind and I put it on my body. I take the fear that's in my mind and I put it on my body. I take the joy that's in my mind and I put it on my body. I take the love that's in my mind and I put it on my body. I take the freedom that's in my mind and I put it on my body. I take the anger that's in my mind and I put it on my body. It's not the body, it's the mind. And minds are joined, but bodies aren't. This next sentence is like, I want to say it to y'all, but I'm trying to think how to do it without my mind exploding. It's like such a big concept in one sentence that it's about how can I get it, let it come through me, but I'm going to give it a good shot. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Only by assigning to the mind the properties of the body does separation seem to be possible. Did y'all hear that? That sounded like English, didn't it? But what did I just say? Right. I say it again. The reason why it seems like it's possible for us to be separate from each other is because we think our minds have the same properties as our body. We think our mind is just like our body. And the truth is, your mind is nothing like your body. Your mind can do things your body could never ever do. That's why that whole thing around the secret right now is so big, and everybody's like focusing on their thoughts and their vibrations, because they're beginning, we're evolving, and we're beginning to recognize that it's consciousness and it's mind and that it's thought that's growing and creating our reality. But the mind does not have the same properties as the body. So that means your mind can do things your body could never, ever even imagine doing. You can do things with your mind that you could never do with your body. You can do more things with your mind than you could ever do with your body, because your mind and my mind can join, but our bodies are never joined. I don't care how close they were. They never join. So pain comes from losing the awareness that your happiness comes from an awareness, and that you've never left what created you, and that love surrounds you completely, and that you're one with everyone around you, and that you're always, always dealing with yourself, because there's nothing outside of you. And you know the only reason you're showing up in any situation is to be your most authentic self, to get knowledge of yourself, and to give and receive love and give and receive freedom. As soon as a person forgets their core reason for being born into the plane, then they draw to them what they call physical circumstances of conflict and survival, broken in two by periods in which we have birthday parties and stuff. That's deep, man. That's deep. It's the mind that seems to be fragmented. It's the mind that seems to be private. It's the mind that seems to be alone, doesn't it? It looks like our bodies are together, but my mind is private. It's like you don't really know what I'm thinking. And it's like my body is alone. My mind is alone. It's my mind. It's private. So it looks like it's the mind that's separate, and it's our bodies that come together and join, doesn't it? He says that's what happens when you give your body the properties of the mind. When you confuse yourself about what creates, then it isolates you, and it makes it look like you can only join by connecting with other bodies, which you never can join with. So you got a bunch of people running around trying to connect through the body to do the joining that they can only do through their mind anyway. But we sure enjoy trying. It's our favorite passage. And it's innocent. It's not guilty. It just makes us lose the awareness of who we are. And when you lose the awareness of who you are, you go into what's called struggle consciousness. And the ease and the flow and the harmony of your life appears to evaporate, because you can't have an harmonious life and not know who you are.
So pain comes from not knowing who you are, not from the physical circumstance that you think is hurting you. First you had to forget who you were, then you attracted to physical circumstance that hurts you. Wow. So why does it look like I'm separate then? And the court says, well, it's the man's guilt which keeps it separate. So I feel guilty because I was taught that I'm not whole, I'm not complete, that I was born in sin, that there's something wrong with me, that I wasn't as nice as I should be, I'm not as far as I should be, I'm insecure. I feel guilty because I didn't treat people right, I haven't been loving enough. My mind is full of guilt, right? And my guilt keeps my mind separate. And then it says, then I project this guilt that I feel onto my body, which suffers and dies. So the body suffers and dies from the guilt in the mind being projected on the body. The body suffers and dies from the guilty thoughts in the mind being projected on the body. How many times you heard that in this class? The guilty thoughts in my mind are being projected on my body, and then my body suffers and dies because my body is attacked to hold the separation in the mind and let it not know its identity. You see, your mind cannot attack. Your mind cannot, like for instance, if I was mad at you and I wanted to attack you with my mind and not my body, the best I could do. She's laughing, right? Because minds can't attack. It's only when this mind tells this body to raise this hand and hit your body in the face that attack becomes real. Attack is only physical.
They're not verbal.
There's no such thing as verbal attack, and there's no such thing as emotional attack. Because both of those things are determined by how you choose to interpret what somebody's saying to you. If somebody in the room called me a nigger, how I react to that is up to me. I can choose to feel peace about that, or I can choose to attack about that. But I have to use my body to attack, because no matter how I felt about what they said, my mind couldn't attack them, because attack is only of the body. So emotional pain is nothing but a result of thoughts that you have been giving yourself to such an extent that they're now subconscious, automatic, and you don't have to do anything to make the thought do its thing. And you call it emotions. Emotions are nothing but emotionally charged meanings that you've given to thoughts. It's just a meaning you give into a thought that you're feeling. So no one can hurt your feelings. If they haven't hit you, then they can't hurt your feelings. You can hurt your feelings about how you react to what they have said to you. So the mind cannot attack, so it uses the body to attack. And when the mind uses the body to attack, the body dies. That's where death comes from. The mind, through guilt and fear and anger and separation, using the body to attack and separate. That's where pain comes from.
Have a nice day. Now, I'll go back to what I said earlier. One more time, just for the joy of it. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. And others may seem to be quite startling. You are not asked to judge at all. You're not asked to analyze at all. Well, look, like the truth is, the truth will either wake you up or it will put you to sleep. That's why you're always safe when you practice the truth. If you're around someone that's not ready for it, they won't harm you. They will go unconscious. They will go to sleep. I'd much rather have a sleeping lion than a one that's angry and awake, right? So as you evolve in consciousness, as you become more peaceful, then people on a different wavelength will just simply go unconscious on what you're saying that might be threatening. I love that. Because
since I'm not going to attack people anymore and that's not my goal, how in the heck am I going to be safe in a world that it looks like there are parts of myself that's loco? Because if this is all me and this is all one, then obviously I'm insane. So how do I get out of my own insane mind? I get out of my insane mind by recognizing that nothing that's happening is outside of me, and that I'm here to be the truth person that I am, to be as authentically me as I can possibly be and as loving as I can possibly be. I got to keep in mind that my mind is more powerful than my body, so I can create more things through right thought than I'll ever do through trying to influence bodies. And that whatever feelings I'm feeling toward the world in my body is really just a feeling I'm feeling toward my mind. It's my mind that I fear. It's my mind that I'm mad at. It's my mind that I'm depressed about. Or it's my mind that I'm happy about. My mind that I'm loving in my mind. And then I then take whatever I feel about my mind and I displace it onto my body, which is my physical circumstances. That's the body. The Course says your physical circumstances. Your perception is your body, not just this. So, what's in my mind that I love gets displaced on my body. And then I begin to experience physical circumstances that reflect the love that I have for my own mind. I've been trying to love people's bodies, and I really should be falling in love with people's minds. Where's your mind coming from? Because that's the part of you that's the most powerful. That's deep. And I need to remember that my body and my mind are two different things, and my body and my mind are nothing alike, and that my mind is much more powerful than my body. And I need to realize that when I feel guilty and angry, I am taking that thought and I am projecting it onto my body, and then my body causes me conflict and fear. Because I've forgotten that my mind can't attack. So I don't need to feel guilty. Actually, I would say 99.9% of my entire life has been spent without attack. Mm-hmm. If that's true, then I really should feel great about myself, that I shouldn't feel guilty, and I should feel like I'm a great guy, because 99.9% of the time, I haven't gotten into a physical fight since I was 10. Because I got beat up. I used to run around the neighborhood with a Superman suit under my clothes. And I used to try to be the person that was looking out for all the kids in the neighborhood, so every time they get in trouble, I would run behind my house, pull my clothes off, and I had my Superman outfit, and then I come running down the street like this. And it's the truth. It's the truth. And I would try to help everybody. I'm talking about somebody with a caretaker thing going on. All right. So one day a guy was getting beat up by a bully, little guy, and I was going to come rescue him, and the bully beat me up and strangled me with my cape. It was the most humiliating moment in my entire life. My big brother was there shaking his head like that. And it was at that moment, when he was pounding me in the face with his fist, that I recognized I never wanted that to happen to me ever, 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 ever again. That I no longer ever wanted to experience anything other than peace. Because I was beginning to think I was halfway tough anyway, so I would eventually just, I wasn't any different from the bully, just the flip side. So I limped off with, strangled with my cape.
Without your kryptonite.
That guy had been my kryptonite. And I stayed in the house for a little while. And then when I thought I felt better, I came back out as Zorro. Because I thought with the mask on, nobody would recognize me. But I could still come back and help. So the truth is, if that was the last time that I physically attacked, then I'm completely innocent.
if I didn't use my mind to try to hurt anybody since then at any kind of a conscious level, I'm completely honest. Now, does that mean everybody in my life always saw it that way? Does it mean that everybody I was in a relationship saw me that way? Of course not. Of course not. Because they were holding me responsible for what they were feeling, because they were losing the awareness that it was their own minds that was creating their physical circumstances and their feelings, and not me. So they wanted to project on me that I was the one that was causing them to feel what they was feeling, so therefore they could get mad at me and have some kind of a grievance against me. But the truth is, they were making themselves feel bad with me or at me. So I'm innocent. Did I wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to really get up this morning and I'm going to see if I can lay the screw to my wife today? What can I do to make my wife's life miserable today? What evil can I hope befalls her through me? There was never a day of my marriage that I got up with that attitude. So whatever happened in the marriage, whether the marriage lasted or didn't last, didn't really make any difference, because neither one of us did anything to each other. We didn't have the intention to harm and did not use our body to carry out that intention of the mind. So what we felt in our marriage was what was going on within ourselves, that we were making ourselves feel about each other, because neither one of us was trying to hurt each other. So both of us are innocent. Our only crime was seeing it as if we were separate and different. I'm innocent, and so are you. Wow. So once I begin to recognize my innocence, then I'll no longer attack my body and make it suffer and die with my guilt and my anger and my fears and my insecurities. And then the Course in Miracles says, well, okay, what do I do? I do have those feelings of guilt and anger and insecurity in my mind. So what do I do to keep from hurting myself? Because I do have those feelings in my mind. I do have those thoughts in my mind. How am I going to keep from attacking my body and making my body suffer and die? You recognize that there's nothing outside of you. You recognize that your mind is more powerful than your body. You recognize that you're surrounded by love and that your mind cannot attack. So you're more innocent than you think you are. And there's nothing outside of you. And every time you feel any kind of anger or guilt or fear, it's really as a result of your desire to have love. So that anger is a desire for love, that fear is a desire for love, that depression is a desire for love, that feeling separate and alone is a desire for love, it's a desire for love, all you feeling is love or desire for love, all you feeling is love or desire for love, all you feeling is love or desire for love, all you feeling is love or desire for love, all you are feeling is love or desire for love, all you are feeling is love or a desire for it. You're only feeling love or a desire for it. You're only feeling peace or a desire for it. You're only feeling peace or a desire for it. That's how you keep your mind from taking the negative thoughts or fearful thoughts in your mind and displacing them on your body and causing your physical environment and physical life to suffer. Your mind cannot attack. So every time you believe you have attacked your body, you're fooling yourself. Every time you think you've hurt your body, you're fooling yourself. Your mind can project its guilt, but you won't lose your guilt by projecting it. And though your mind can clearly misperceive the function of the body, it's obvious that our minds can clearly misperceive the functions of the body, our minds cannot change the function of our body from what the Holy Spirit establishes the function of our body to be. So there's no way you can change the function of your body. And the function of your body, according to the Course, is to be an aid to help you reach that awareness where all your love and peace abide. The purpose of your body is to be an aid to help you reach that love and peace and abundance and awareness that your mind desires. The purpose of your body is to be an aid to help you reach all the wonderful, beautiful things within yourself that your mind and heart desires. The body is an aid. It's not supposed to be used to attack. It's supposed to be used to wake us up and remind us of the oneness and the love and the truth and the freedom that we are. I love this. It says, this next sentence should be just, it is never what the body does that seems to satisfy.
It is never what the body does that seems to satisfy. No matter what the body does, I'm never satisfied. No matter what my body does, I'm never satisfied. No matter where I am, I'm never completely satisfied. No matter what I'm doing, I'm never completely satisfied. No matter what a relationship I'm in, I'm never completely satisfied. No matter how much I have of things I think I want, I'm never completely satisfied. There's nothing that the body does that completely satisfies. Is that what it says? But unless, and this is deep, unless your mind believes your body, I love this, unless your mind believes the body, unless the mind believes the body is actually acting out the mind's fantasies, I'll say it again. Unless I think my body is acting out my fantasies, unless I think my body is helping me to act out my fantasies, my mind will attack the body. Unless my body is helping me get my fantasy taken care of, my mind attacks my body. My mind hurts my body if my body don't help my mind get its fantasy. Because when I walk in the room, baby, I got a fantasy for everybody in here. That's called my wish about how you should act, how you should treat me, and how you should be for me. That's my fantasy. So when I come into a room, if my body don't act out my fantasy, I attack my body. That's why if I think I don't look good, then I get mad because without my body looking good, how is it going to help me act my fantasy out? Mm-hmm. Because my body's job is to go out here and get me more of what my mind wants. My mind comes up with a fantasy, it orders my body. Girl, go out and become a successful course teacher. Girl, I feel like going to the movie today. My body goes and gets in the car and drives. Girl, I think I'd like a hamburger. My body
goes back Wendy's. Orders.
And if I want to get another body, if I want to be close to another body, and the mind's fantasies have to do with another body, then if my body doesn't look good enough to attract the other body, then my body has betrayed me and I hate my body, and then I project my anger and guilt and disappointment on my body, and then my body gets sick and it suffers and it dies.
This is familiar.
That's so deep. Do you see now why most people don't want to know the truth? Can't you see how you have to be really a very open, aware, mature soul to get to the point that you could remotely even entertain what we just said here tonight? This was so freeing. This could release me from pain for the rest of my life if I wanted to really pay attention to what it was saying. I'll say it again. Unless the mind believes the body is actually acting out its fantasies, the mind will attack the body. And then the Course says, well, how does it attack the body? Okay, this is a good point. Okay, I want to stop my mind from attacking my body because I get disappointed in my body when it doesn't do the things my mind wants it to do in my mind's fantasies. Because in my mind's fantasies, my body has to do the things that allow my fantasy to be acted out. And so if my body doesn't act out my fantasy, I get mad, and then my anger cannot stay in the mind because the mind isn't even physical. So in order to convince itself that it's mad, it has to make the body feel the anger so the mind can think it exists. What the hell did I just say? That was deep. I can't wait to listen to this. It's just what's on the page. I'm not particularly brilliant. I can read. But it's like, it's something about hearing the truth together, spoken aloud, that gives it a power that your ego can block you from getting all the rest of the time. Because the ego is going to tempt us to walk out of this room tonight and still project that the pain that we're going through is coming from something outside of our own, forgetting what this just said. It's going to flip right back into what somebody else did, how somebody else should change, what circumstance needs to change. It's going to flip back. It's going to flip right back into what? The separation. from, it's going to say, you have nothing to do with anything that happens to you. You have nothing to do with anything that happens to you. You have nothing to do with anything that happens to you. You have nothing to do with anything that's happening to you. That's what your ego is going to say. You have nothing to do. So all I want you to do is look for whose fault it is. Look for whose fault it is. You, I want you to use your mind to look for whose fault it is, because what's happening to you has nothing to do with you. What's happening to you has nothing to do with you. What's happening to you has nothing to do with you. What's happening to you has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. It's them. It's them. It's them. It's them. If they would change it, they were different. 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 If they would change it, he's just going to go back. It's going to do it even more because you bear so much truth. So it's got to defend against what Earl's saying. So it's like, you are powerful, you create your reality. 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 Your mind cannot attack. Your mind can't hurt nobody. Your mind can't hurt anybody. 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 Your mind never hurt anybody. Your mind never hurt anybody. No, your mind never hurt anybody. But if I have to accept this is true, then I'd have to accept that nobody's ever hurt me. I knew there was a catch. Because otherwise I'd jump on this idea with total joy. The truth is, I don't want to believe that you didn't do it to me. So if I accept that I'm responsible for what I receive, then it's going to take you off the hook. And I want you to be responsible for what I'm going through, because all the little peace I have comes from blaming you. So to be free, I got to free you. To be free, I have to free you. To be free, I have to free you. To be free, I have to free you. Well, how can I do it? Well, the way that you can do it is through recognizing that heaven is an awareness, your peace is an awareness, your love is an awareness, and that you're going to always live within your awareness. So that which you become more aware of, that will be the physical environment you will be living in. So I will create my abundance, my prosperity, my love, and my safety by allowing myself to increase the awareness of my oneness and my power as a child of God, as a child of spirit, as a child of love. I'm going to do everything I can all day to remember the ideas of freedom and peace and abundance and oneness and union and cooperation. I'm going to do everything I can to strengthen those ideas, because when you share an idea, you strengthen an idea. By sharing an idea, you strengthen an idea. By sharing an idea, you strengthen an idea by sharing an idea. And the more you share an idea, the stronger it becomes. Whew. So all I have to do is become more aware of the ideas I want to live in. And your body's purpose is to aid you in achieving that joy. Thanks for having me remember tonight. Could you acknowledge yourself for even hearing it?
Get enthusiastic about an idea, strengthens an idea, so therefore I become aware of the idea manifests and I begin to live in that idea. So every time we hear these ideas and we repeat these ideas and we're enthusiastic about these ideas, we're allowing these ideas to become strong so that they can manifest physically in our lives. That's the beauty of what we're doing. We're creating an awareness that will protect us.
Out.
Love offering. Thank you for sharing with me as a full-time teacher of the Course in Miracles. It especially is appreciated when you share you feel in your heart that you should and it's right for you. Thank you for your generosity. Unity Temple, thank you for your generosity. Prosperity. We want to strengthen that idea in each other's mind. Abundance is your natural state. Abundance is your natural state. Abundance is my 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 natural state. Abundance is your natural state.
don't, but I appreciate those who do more. That's the truth. I do appreciate those who give on every level. Cause, you know why? Because it allows me to continue to do what I'm doing. It allows me to continue to share the truth and share the love. That's, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And thank you. Also, I got some flyers up front. So once you begin to realize the folly of the world, and you really begin to see that it's really not based on anything real, and you really want to go for what's real, the only thing that's left is service. You really want to be a means for the love to come into the world and the healing to come into the world. Because you know, you're not into guilt anymore, so you know you can experience any physical thing that you want to do in peace and harmony. So it's no more anything about that great battle about what's okay for me to do, what's not okay for me to do it, where am I going to do it, and how. All that drops away, because the once you let go of any guilt, then your mind no longer believes it deserves to be punished in any way. And since your mind creates everything, at the point you believe you're innocent, you automatically remove all suffering from your life. So, be loving yourself more than you ever have before, because you created an idea in a little black chocolate body to tell you that you deserve to be loved and supported all the time. And if you make a mistake or an error, you deserve to receive help for that. I'm an extreme teaching example. I'm an example of what you're capable of creating. And I'm an effect. I'm not a cause. I showed up after you wanted me and after you changed your mind and you wanted to hear how beautiful you were and how innocent you are. So the innocent thought would be displaced upon your body and heal your body, just like the guilty thought used to be displaced upon your body and then it would produce lack or sickness or loneliness. The mind can just as easily, if not more easily, create loving, really cool experiences for you than the painful experiences, because the really wonderful experiences are more in line with the way the nature of the universe really is, while the pain and struggle is actually opposite to the way that the universe naturally flows. So it's really a lot harder to stay miserable than it is to allow yourself to be moved into a state of abundance, prosperity, and joy. It takes a lot of determination to stay miserable, and nobody really helps you except other people who want to be miserable too. And then y'all come together and then make each other miserable on the job, or you make each other miserable in a relationship, or you make each other miserable. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you want misery, you always get a good misery partner. And then the two misery partners get together and help each other suffer. And if they do it long enough and well enough, they even have an anniversary. And they'll celebrate how long they've made each other miserable and been committed completely to that goal. So we want to change our way of going about doing that. You know what I'm saying? So you could just as easily have someone that you're looking in the eyes of who love and appreciate you and see your beauty and acknowledge you and recognize you as you see somebody in your face that's constantly judging you and criticizing you, because your mind is going to always create the physical circumstances that reflect the primary idea that you have about yourself in your mind. Your physical circumstances is going to always reflect the primary idea about yourself that you have in your mind, and the idea you have about yourself in your mind is that you are spirit, you are love, you are innocent, and you are unlimited. Your real self feels that way about you. So your real self already feels the way you're trying to get yourself to feel right now. So just get out the way and let your real self do its thing. And I'll see you next time. Appreciate y'all.